Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed's sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast on Thursday, the 7th of February, 2019. On the podcast today, I have Sachin Oza, who's co-chief executive officer of Rehoboth Resources, RBD. And Sachin discusses the drilling of the Coulter well offshore in Dorset, which started yesterday. Also on the podcast, Chris Bailey, founder of FinancialOrbit.com, covers the following companies with updates today. And these are largely in the bigger market cap sector. So Thomas Cook Group, TCG, Superdry, SDRY, and Smith and Nephew, SN Dot. By the way, I think Chris is bullish on one of those, not the other two. I also have two lists for you. The top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours, and the top five most liked RNSs. And you can find those on the front page, in fact, top 10 versions of those lists, on the front page of Vox, which is, of course, voxmarkets.co.uk, where you'll see a load more content. Morning Financial Press highlights, the morning view from SP Angel, a content and article on SDX Energy. Plus, there's a little thing they call Five Things You Need to Know Today. Very good, that. And there's a video interview with Mark Sampson from Shield Therapeutics, STX. So worth checking that out.
Want to keep up to date with all the companies in your portfolio? On the free Vox Markets app, you can create multiple watch lists and get instant news alerts about any company you follow. Find out more at voxmarkets.co.uk/app.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Sachin Oza, co-chief executive officer of Rehoboth Resources. RBD is the ticker there. Sachin, thanks for joining me.
Thank you very much for having me, Justin.
Yeah, there's a lot of excitement amongst private investors because the well you're taking part in a minute, we'll talk about, which is Coulter, is, a lot of companies are involved in it and a lot of listed companies. And so there's a lot of excitement, and I'll go into details and timetable and your share of that potential upside there in a bit. Before we do, as always, Sachin, if someone is not quite familiar with Rehoboth Resources, can you explain what you're all about, please?
Yeah, sure. So Rehoboth Resources is an AIM-listed oil and gas company. And what we do is we provide the funding for low technical risk upstream oil and gas projects with the capital that goes into that project, allows for near-term drilling. And on successful drilling, the asset can be monetized soon thereafter, leading to substantial returns for Rehoboth investors. We've built out a portfolio based on that strategy already. Coulter, as you were saying, is one of those opportunities, and indeed could be argued was the first for which we provided the capital for drilling to take place. So all very exciting for us.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so then, people have been waiting for this for a while because I suppose originally, things never go to plan on time ever, I suppose, in oil and gas, hardly ever. And you've got lots of factors that play into the timing of it all. But I think it was originally, was it for last year, end of last year, but then it's been pushed back a bit. But now it's happening. RNS out yesterday, commencement of drilling operations at Coulter, offshore in Dorset. So take us through your involvement here and what is the potential here, if you could, Sachin?
Certainly can. So just to answer that question very directly, what is our involvement? We have made an investment in Korallian Energy. Indeed, it was the first investment that Rehobold made, where Rehobold has a 32.9% stake in Korallian, and Korallian Energy is 49% of the Coulter well. That provides an effective interest of around 16% to Rehobold, which is the largest of all the publicly listed companies to that opportunity. But just by way of background, since we're on it and you brought it up, Rehobold really chose the strategy of investing here in the operator of the well, and we were the first publicly listed company to get involved in the Coulter opportunity, very specifically for the drilling of that well. It happened a little later than we expected, but nonetheless, we were first and delighted to see that the other publicly listed companies who came in as joint venture partners chose to do so, validating, hopefully, the technical merits of the play. But on top of that, and it's worthwhile also highlighting, we felt that it was a better commercial transaction and more capital efficient to do this via the equity of Korallian, because you get a better deal that way than we felt we could get by becoming a joint venture partner on the license. And with all of that background, this is an opportunity that has very substantial upside, because it's 23 million barrels of oil equivalent P50 resource. And as I said, given the location where it is, the infrastructure available, it's the type of success that can be monetized for a substantial return soon after drilling success.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So to you, what net is about, 4 million barrels of oil, but and it's worth about 56 million NPV in dollars. Is that right?
That's correct. Yeah, that's a reasonable reflection of A, the economics and the net exposure that we have.
And you've been involved with, this is a second drill with Korallian. Of course, the first one was exploration. And if people don't know about this, there's a difference, isn't there, between exploration and appraisal and as far as risks and chance of success?
So, yeah, that's right. So the first well that got drilled was Wick in the Inner Moray Firth. And that Korallian was substantially carried through an element of that campaign. So if you like, it was a free, in inverted commas, a free shot at an exploration well. But the funding and the strategy that I talked about earlier was all geared towards these low technical risk opportunities. And an appraisal well falls into the lower technical risk opportunity, because specifically Coulter has had discovery wells drilled on them by BP back in the 1980s. So it's a much better understood system than was the case with Wick.
Yeah, yeah. And so, I mean, as far as the timing in this now, the time scales, so what is the action? I mean, when do they hope to get the drilling under? I mean, it's obviously started, but how long does it take, would you hope?
Yeah, so I think the operator has given an indication of about 30 days for this well. And in that time period is when we would be anticipating providing further updates to the market on hopefully successful results from that well.
Yeah. And do you get sort of excited by this when it's happening? You know, this is the end game here, isn't it, for this well, you know?
Yeah, it's you're right. And I guess the way we would describe it is we live and breathe every single well that gets drilled, but we think about all of our return potential at the portfolio level. Mm-hmm. Each of these opportunities can significantly generate returns for our investors. But that happens not only on the well-by-well basis, but on the portfolio in general. But it is really pleasing to see all the work that we've put in, the joint venture partners following us into the opportunity, and to finally see it drilling. But that happens on each and every case on an individual basis as the opportunities progress. So we are very excited by it, but keep our heads screwed on, because we've constructed and developed a portfolio of really significant potential that lies ahead of us, of which Coulter is one of those opportunities.
Yeah, well, just touch on what's next elsewhere. What bit of news can we expect from your other operations?
So, you know, around the same time as Coulter and whenever we would expect the results from that, will also be the next well in California, which will be the On Monroe Swell. It's worthwhile saying in California, we have already had success and got into production the VG3 and VG4 wells, which were on the West Brentwood field. And on top of that, we also had well workovers in something called Dowd, which all started generating cash for us. Munro Swell is the new opportunity in California and is larger in scale than West Brentwood. So we're very much looking forward to that happening in February and later this month, with the results towards the end of this month. And we also have West Newton, which is in East Yorkshire. Mm-hmm. We have Danube, which will be drilling in Romania. And those are the opportunities, further opportunities ahead of us. But we have other things like Grizzly Island in California and follow-on potential of success across our portfolio, which we haven't nailed down now, but will be dependent on the drilling results as they happen.
Yeah, and I'm looking at presentation there. So pretty much these projects now, obviously minus WIC, but they're still around about NPV of $400 million, aren't they?
Yes, so you're right, Justin. It's really substantial NPV upside. And I want to stress this point again, that that NPV number applies to only those wells for which we have funded the opportunity. And when we think about the NPV, these are about projects that we can monetize, in our view, very soon after successful drilling. So in the case of California, the monetization process has been putting it into production. That happens so quickly after drilling that you start generating the cash flow. Things like Coulter are a little bit different because that would, you know, in our thinking is much more down the asset monetization route through a transaction, but nonetheless is something that can happen soon after drilling success. Yeah. So those NPV numbers are things in our mind that can be crystallized soon after successful drilling. These are not long lead timelines to crystallize that value.
Yeah. Marvelous stuff. Well, one final thing, Sachin, you're well rehearsed in this now, but if someone's listening to this and likes the sound of what you're doing but are not yet following the story, give them those three quick reasons why they should hit that follow button on your page on Vox Markets and add you to their watch list, please.
Absolutely, Justin. And we've run through this not only in this call already, but in previous discussions. To highlight and stress again, we have a series of each individual opportunity, which is very significant for Rehobald, where drilling is taking place now or in the near term. And we ran through some of those. Each individual opportunity is very substantial, but we have constructed an exciting portfolio that will be taking place soon from now. Right? So it's really, really exciting opportunities is the first point. The second point is that we've already demonstrated our ability to convert the drilling success into cash flow or monetization. The third is we continue to see opportunities that we can invest in both within the existing portfolio and other projects out there that can generate very substantial returns and carry on the strategy that we've already shown success in deploying. So we love your listeners who aren't following us to click that follow button and be part of this exciting story.
Marvelous stuff. Sachin, good to chat to you. And like you say, so much going on. So no doubt we'll be catching up again in the not too distant future. Thank you very much.
Looking forward to it, Justin. Thank you.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Chris Bailey, founder of FinancialOrbit.com. Chris, thanks for coming on. I know you're not in your normal haunt.
I'm on the road. I'm speaking to you live from a luxurious hotel accommodation. It's a very solid, Whitbread-owned three-star chain, which I'm sure everyone knows, which I highly recommend as a shareholder.
Yeah, well, it's Premier Inn. That's good, though. You're a shareholder. You can check it out. I quite like that, though, you know? It's like, you know, I mean, who said that? I walked down Wall Street. What's his name?
Peter Lynch.
Check out the things you're in there. Yeah.
You've got to do it. I mean, we'll put aside the fact that you can get a shareholder discount as a Whitbread shareholder. That's quite useful. But, you know, if you're going to, particularly if you're investing in a retailer or something consumer-facing, for goodness sake, go and check it out. You know, it's a bit more difficult with a nuclear power plant. I mean, you know, that's a bit risky and a bit left field. But, no, you know, do your own research. And as a consumer, if you've had a good experience, maybe other people are going to have one as well. So I'm all for it. I can report that my propensity to hold Whitbread shares have been unimpacted by the events of the last 12 hours.
Yeah, well, no, do you know what? Same thing. I like a bit of tech, and I've just invested in a small sort of app that's looking at discount on foods. And I realised, hang on, they do restaurants near me. And I got the app, so I thought, I'll try it out, see how it actually works, because it looks quite good. And I like the disruptive idea of it. It's yield management. I don't know if you know what that is, but essentially you get cheaper prices at off-peak times.
That's right.
And, it's good for the restaurant, I thought, because they're filling seats they wouldn't normally fill. They pay the app maker sort of a minimum amount, and the consumer gets money off. So I'm going to check this out, because they launch in Bournemouth as well, and Bristol, but I thought, I'm not far from Bournemouth, and I check it out, I try and book it and go through the whole process of doing it, so see how it works, you know. So so that's good there. So marvellous.
You get great insights. You know, that's the key. Investments is all about insights, so that when something goes wrong or share prices are all over the place, you've got a feel for what you're investing in. So heartily recommend it. You know, One Up on Wall Street, Peter Lynch, great book. But take the key message, which is you can make a difference. You know, get out there, get your hands a bit dirty.
And as an investor at Premier Inn there, I mean, are you suitably impressed?
Yeah, no, there's honestly nothing. It's a very, you know, standard business. You know, absolutely everything is humming along fine. The hotel seems reasonably full. They try to upsell me in terms of breakfast and everything else. So business as usual for them.
Yeah, marvellous stuff. Okay, well, what is happening on the larger scale, larger side of the market cap, stock market? Who's released, Chris? What's news?
We've had a few trading statements and updates. Probably got to start with Thomas Cook, because, of course, Thomas Cook's been all over the place over recent weeks and months. They had a bit of a whoopsie a few weeks ago when they said, look, the warm weather in the UK had stymied their sales of holidays overseas to Spain and other places, and they basically issued a profits warning. The shares came tumbling back, but you know, they've got a bit now, a bit more stuck in this sort of 30 odd pence level. And I have to say, today's trading update is quarter one. You know, they don't sell a lot of holidays in that period. You know, that's not a classic Thomas Cook period. They make most of their money in the summer. It's a bit of a holding statement. They've said a couple of interesting things. The first thing is quarter one revenue are up 1%, so that's no disaster. They've reiterated their lowered forecasts, again no disaster. They've said that, look, people are uncertain, their forward bookings for this upcoming summer 2019, they're not quite as strong as they saw a year ago because of uncertainty, and of course it's Brexit, it's worries about this, that and the other, the consumer environment. But it's no shocker. And you know, when I look at the statement, I thought to myself, you know, I genuinely feel Thomas Cook shares are cheap, because if you look at the multiple of earnings against consensus, it's low single digit. So my feeling is, unless you think that there is a brick wall that consumers are just running into, or there's going to be huge Brexit related disruption over the next few months, I kind of feel as if Thomas Cook is kind of good value here. And you know, the shares in early trading, you know, they've been a bit volatile all over the place, but I think they'll go better, because my feeling is that actually there was not another warning here, and that's good enough. Because let's face it, you know, consumers, they cut back on many things, you know, when times are tough. But a holiday, that's one of the last things you cut. You know, maybe you don't buy that new car, maybe you don't buy the new kitchen or stuff like that. But a holiday, it's a bit sacrosanct, you know?
Yeah, you know, I know. Listen, and I think it's going more that way with experiential, you know, things rather than just buying things, you know, because I really don't buy a lot. I literally, you know, I enjoy my job. I don't spend a lot on stuff. I'm not a big clothes fan, really. I like the odd gadget there, but not, I don't buy it regularly or gadgets ready. So, but what I do like, I do enjoy holidays. I do look forward to them, and it's one of those things that I will spend on, you know. So it's an exception, because I remember holidays from when I was a kid, and I remember them fondly. Yeah, and I think it's one of those things that you know, you should have. Everyone, if you can afford it, should have it in life, because I think it does, you know, improve life generally, having a nice holiday. You always look back on them. Unless you have a nightmare, you always look back on them fondly, I think, you know.
So, yeah, travel broadens the mind and all of that, absolutely. And I think what Thomas Cook really need, apart from a little bit more clarity on Brexit and whatever else, is they actually need a bit of an iffy UK summer. This is a great play. If we have an iffy summer, if the weather's not that good, then Thomas Cook are going to clean up. So my feeling is it's a cheap share. There's some catalysts. They haven't warned again. It's not in a fantastic position, but at least it's stabilised what looked to be a leaky ship. So my feeling is the shares go higher from here. And in the low 30s, I think they're exhibiting a bit of value. That's my gut feel.
Yeah. They're at 140, weren't they? 140 in, when was
that? That's right.
May of 2018, last summer.
Precisely. A year and change ago.
Now they're 30.
And, you know, obviously, now they're 30. But, so, you know, there is a bit of inherent value. And it's obviously, we know that things like the balance sheet moves about with holiday companies. You know, when you pay for your holiday, when they're paying out expenses, it's a bit lumpy, the old cash flow and everything. But are they going to need to raise money? I don't think so. Are they going to, you know, go bust or anything like that? You know, absolutely not. So my feeling is it is cheap here, and I genuinely would buy it today.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, it'd be nice. I mean, on the chart there, they are just, I mean, they after that sort of financial results and stuff, they went down to 22 pence, but they bounced off that. Oversold massively there. They did a big bounce up the next day. They've been trading in that range now between 40 and sort of 30, and they're on 30 now.
Right.
I'd be surprised if they retest that, you know, I'd like to see a higher low of that 22 pence.
Yes,
and maybe just dip below 30 and then punch back up. It could be a bottom there. Okay,
yes.
Cool. Anything else, Chris?
Well, you mentioned clothing just a minute or two ago, Justin, and your old favourites, the faux Japanese.
Well, they're not anymore. They're not anymore.
Dry.
Yeah, they're not my favourites anymore. I've had too many of them. I've been an advert for a walk-in billboard advert for them for a long time, but I'm sick of it now, and I've gone down to Jack. I've got a Jack Wills, which have minimal logos. In fact, tiny on the corner there, so you don't see them. But yeah, I just realised. I did like the hoodies. It kept me warm in the winter, but I thought, I don't want to be a walking advert for Superdry, you know, a massive brand across my stuff. I don't want any brand on there.
I think that's been you know, obviously, we now know the reason why they profit warned, you know, repeatedly in the last 12 months. They've come up with another trading update. It is downright messy. I mean, a core retail sales, falling sales. E-commerce, get this. Falling sales. My God, how can you have falling sales in e-commerce? Sure, it's only down 0.7% or something. But my goodness, e-commerce is a growth theme. So it clearly hasn't worked recently. We know that they've been in sort of the wrong places. Either the weather's been wrong for fleeces and hoodies and whatever, or just, you know, people just don't want, as you say, those characters and the big branding. They've gone elsewhere. Mm-hmm. Wholesale's been good. Wholesale in the States apparently has been good for them. But net, it's still really messy. They're talking about, they think the turnaround is happening, but of course, bubbling around in the background, you've got the co-founder who's very unhappy, not on the board, but still got a big shareholding. He's stirring the pot. I've described the stock as a popcorn stock, i.e. you get the popcorn and watch what's going on, because it's more fun to watch than certainly invest in it. And when I look at it today, there's still nothing there which says to me, you must be investing in this company. So I don't like the clothes, and the share I'm going to give a miss to as well. And when I looked this morning, I think they failed again at the sort of the circa £5 level, which, you know, was potentially turning into some kind of new support. So yeah, not one for me, I'm afraid.
Yeah, and what's worrying there is you look at all the sort of the breakdown in the figures. Wholesale, which is obviously very low margin, is the only part that's growing 12%. Everything else is falling. So the higher margin business is obviously not suffering a little bit.
And I say it's e-commerce going down. My goodness, I mean, e-commerce is inherent growth. So they've clearly got the wrong stock. Now, they may change that over time, but I'm not convinced today.
Yeah. Do you know what? The chart, I looked at the chart. I changed the chart then. I thought, hang on, have I changed the chart? Because it looks very similar to Thomas Cook. They've come down from like last year in May, and it's bounced on a level here. There's obviously £4, whereas Thomas
Cook is.
But I mean, yeah, well, so it'll be interesting to see if it holds that sort of £4 level, £5 now, in the coming months, whether they can stay above that, because that seems
that's right.
You know,
but obviously, the shares are £5 now, so, you know, that between four and five, absolutely. But is there anything to get me compelled about it? No. But again, you know, check out the stores. Go down to the stores, see what you think. I mean, I'm not overly impressed.
It's just filled with loads of middle-aged men like me thinking they're trendy, but it's not. even I've moved on now. So I must have been supporting the sales there somewhere, because I've moved on
now. That's right.
Okay, anything else?
That's right. Final one's got to be hopefully something neither of us need quite yet, which is artificial hips and related, courtesy of Smith & Nephew. So SN is the ticker, or SN slash, I think it is.
Yeah, yeah. I can see myself combining super dry clothes with almost artificial hip. You know, that's how hip people are, wear super dry. So I think it ties in nicely. Yeah. But go on.
So, well, yeah. It's a good business, and thematically, you know, let's face it, aging populations and the like should be in the box seats in terms of growth. This one, though, I follow a number of US peers of theirs who seem to be growing an awful lot faster. Smith & Nephew, again, the numbers today, full year numbers, whether it's revenue or earnings or dividend, up 2 or 3%. The outlook for next year, it's up 2 or 3%. Oh, I don't know. I'm a bit frustrated. They've got a new CEO who's promised to sort of turn it around, seems to be pushing up margins slowly. They've got an activist on the shareholder list who's agitating for change. So maybe it's one where you're going to see change over time. But I must admit that the shares are up today post the numbers. They're up 2% and change. They're sort of now in the high 14 quid area, which... yeah, it's a good theme. Love the concept of the stock. Can't quite bring myself to buy it because it's not growing fast enough. I think you're still paying up for the good theme, but not actually getting much output in terms of, as I say, higher dividend or higher profits.
Yeah, dollars. I was looking at full dividend is 36 cents per share. So what's that, 27 pence? I can't do the sort of what's the.
That's right. So it's two. You know, it's 2% and change.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
You know, it's not particularly compelling to me. And so good theme. I guess what the lesson for me is, you know, I often talk about being a thematic investor. You know, you want to find themes that are interesting, that are growth themes or value themes or whatever it might be, a theme where there's change. And hips, artificial hips, and knee reconstructions and related. You know, this is a growth theme. But as always, with growth themes, you've got competition and you've got change. I just don't think at the moment they're giving me enough growth for me to pay up for the theme, if that makes any sense. So yeah. I take my chances elsewhere. So not one for me, I must admit. I think of today's little triplet, I would say Thomas Cook is the one which excites me the most.
Do you know what? It's a messy chart from 2000. Well, let's go back to from 2017. It's been grinding higher, but it almost had lots of dips where it suggests it was going to go lower. So I can see if you're you know, a bit worried about the stock, people may have sold out because then it's grinded higher again then. And a very messy grind higher. But, I mean, I wouldn't buy it. I mean, it may grind higher. It's gapped up today, but it seems like sort of 15, 20 is the high here. If you can get around, it's bounced off 14 quid. Is
that's right.
Pull down resistance there. Yeah, so that area is good.
That's what I'm saying. Anything started with a 13 is good value in my regard. I think the issue is a lot of the peers in the States have done really well, and it's kind of been dragged up with it, but it's just not growing as fast. So great theme, not convinced by the share.
Yeah, cool. But they're more hip than super dry. Hip
that's
replacement.
Right. Well,
hip replacement, that is. Yeah.
Quite, yeah, absolutely. You know, it would be more difficult, and yeah, absolutely.
Marvellous stuff. Thanks for that, Chris. And we'll catch up next week, fella. Thanks very much.
Sounds a good plan. See you soon.
Okay, it's time for the top 5 most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours. They are at 5. It's a joint 5, actually. Big Dish, D-I-S-H, and Photon Star, LED Group. At 4, Sabian Technology Group. I'm taking a little bit of a punt in that stock. A tiny market cap, 800,000. But they did an update recently with January figures off the chain, you know, off the hook compared to last 6 months. And they've had a pipeline of deals. They do sort of boiler tech, which is reduces the energy use and the carbon footprint by between 10 and 25%. So it's good tech. Good environment, but they've been having this pipeline of £10.4 million pipeline for a long time, taking longer to convert than normal. There's been a lot of change at the company, and this figure January came out of nowhere. So it was like 147,000, which if the pipeline is starting to convert, which is taking a long time, then and they can replicate this January figure across the year, then there's potential massive upside for SNT. Of course, there's been delays before, so you never know. But this is the thing. They are providing an update next week. So that's where it gets interesting. And they said in that update, they're going to provide outlook guidance. Now, they're expecting to be break-even in December last year, but they made money in January, month of January, because of that revenue. So one's thinking this outlook, and they did say we're going to give forward guidance, suggests there may be some kind of, you know, bullish update. Who knows? It's speculation. Okay. Wow, just changed there. So, Infrastrata at number three, most followed, INFA. At two, Amphion Innovations, AMP. I don't know what's happened there. It's gone nuts the last couple of days. I should read into that. And in fact, let's look at it right now while I'm here. What has happened? News, share price, appointment joint broker. That's appointment joint broker. Is that it? 21st of January, WellGen finalises license agreement. Well, it's a microcap, so maybe that appointment of broker really pushed it up. So that's AMP, Amphion. They went crazy yesterday. And number one, most followed company, again, is Red Emperor Resources, RMP. Okay, top five most liked RNSs came from the following companies. At five, it is United Oil & Gas, spud of coal to appraisal well, which is yesterday afternoon. At four, Prospect Oil & Gas, maiden gas reserves for prospects. At three, Rebel Resources, commencement of drilling operations. Of course, I just talked to Sachin. At two, Talao Energy, ASX query and response. And number one is United Oil & Gas, CPR for Selva gas field onshore Italy. So very popular there. Okay, that's it for the podcast. Thanks for listening. Much appreciated.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Everything from clothing to household items are getting more expensive each day. The world of fast fashion has complicated clothing production by shipping cheap parts around the world to whoever can sew them the cheapest. And now you, the consumer, are paying the price with rising costs. American Giant is about keeping things simple and close to home. They aren't affected by tariffs because their products never leave the U.S. Skip the tariff and snag yourself American-made clothing with American Giant. Get 20% off your first order when you use promo code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off when you use code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com.